last week we were meeting and with the pastors, and I was talking about the angel of the Lord that would stand with me while I minister. And if you would this morning, just say, thank you, angels, for being here. If you're like me, I need all the angels I can get. But there's angels all around us this morning. And there's angels on this platform standing here today because I know when I stand, I don't stand alone. I stand with a company, a heavenly company. And the angel of the Lord that comes with me, and I hope that doesn't freak you out, the angel of the Lord that comes is the one that stands in the presence of the Lord. And we were talking about how the glory of God increases. The next day I got a call from Jeremy Nelson. How many remember Jeremy? It's been over a year since I talked to him. And about 5 minutes into the conversation, he said, hey, I'm just seeing something in the Spirit. I said, what's that? He said, I see the angel of the Lord that stands behind you. I said, wow, we were talking about that yesterday. He said, but I see something different. He has his head in the clouds. And he said, it's going to release a new level of glory that you haven't seen before. I was speaking last year at a business meeting up in Dallas, and the Lord spoke to me right before that session. He said, you can release as much glory to these people as you choose to. Well, that was a pretty frightening proposition to put that in my hands. In my younger days, I would have probably said, sick 'em, God. But, you know, thank God that the Lord gives us a spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him. Because, you see, God has more to release to you than you can imagine. And maybe more than you can handle. How many would like to see if God could overdose you? We live in a season when most of Christianity is pulling back from overdose mentality. We're in fact, seeing how little dose we can give. Much of the preaching has been reduced to platitudes and self-help teaching, inspirational teaching. But there seems to be a drought in presence teaching. Because it's in the presence of the Lord that everything transforms and changes. And what a contrast it makes when you see the difference between that which is presented from a legalistic point and that which is brought by the Spirit. There's a great difference, isn't there? It's very evident. Because we can be New Testament, New Covenant-minded people, yet still preach bondage. Because we're not transformed simply by the word. We transform the word that's anointed. Because until the word is anointed, until the word has the Spirit, the word doesn't have Jesus. The word that's devoid of Jesus becomes our bondage. And so I don't want to be identified by what I know, but I want to be identified by who I know. Paul said that I may know him. Paul didn't say, well, I want to know the word. I want to be well-versed in doctrine. I want to be a theologian of the theologians. I don't know what kind of title that would be. I would probably call it the dummies of the dummies. Paul said, I want to know him and the power of his resurrection. Paul said that I've determined know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. What's the cross is so beautiful because the cross represents that transitional point where you go from death to life. On one side of the cross is death, and the other is life. Romans tells us that it's through the cross that everything that we are ceases to exist. One of the good news is that you cannot coexist with God. Someone has to give. It's either going to be you or him. Who do you think wins this battle? The cross takes care of you. Because you die. Everybody say, I die. So that I may live. Let's open the Bible, 2 Corinthians. And hallelujah. I tell you, I love the new thing that God's doing, except it messes with my teaching. If God wouldn't mess with me so much, I'd be okay. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and 4. See, we're at a pivotal time in history. We're a time in history where we're either going to become radically sensitive to the Holy Spirit or we're going to fall into bondage. When the Lord issued the call to Babylon, he says, come out of her, my people. What does Babylon represent? What does Egypt represent? They represent bondage. They represent conformity to the world. And we have a conformity mindset to the spirit of this age, we'll never be able to grasp the freedom of his age. May I say the new age? See, when he says, I'm going to manifest myself to you, it's a radical departure from the lifeless religion that most of us grew up in, that most of us are surrounded around by now, the lifelessness of religion. There's no life in that. There's no life in that which man presents. All of our life is in him. Because when we come into his presence, we begin to move into a miraculous, supernatural realm. And that's a foreign realm to the flesh. I get kickback. We all get kickback when we're talking to someone about angels or we're talking about the presence, the glory cloud, the manifestation of his presence. We feel this kickback because it's not in the nature of man to readily accept that. That's why God chose the base things of the world, the foolish things, to confound the wise. Intellectualism, in and of itself, is not evil, except when intellectualism compares itself or becomes the rival of the Spirit. The mind of man is an enmity against God. The things of man hate the things of God because when God shows up, it destroys our plans. That's why in the body of Christ, programs will not work unless we hold those programs so lightly that when God wants to change them, we'll readily accept that. But that's not in the nature of man. The nature of man is not to change. It's religion is like a rut, isn't it? It's a grave. We get set in to a religious spirit, and when the Spirit of God comes, it's difficult to break out of that. But the anointing of the Lord has come to break the yoke. The unction of God comes to take us out of the old and bring us into the new. The Holy Spirit comes and his presence begins to nurture and transform us to create in us the spirit of an overcomer. To bring us into that place where there's an abundance of life. Christ said, I've come to give you that life and to give you an abundance of it. Well, that life and abundance of life is not a how-to book on how to be successful. It's an anointing that comes to us. One little drop. I mean, wouldn't it, we just visualized this morning a drop coming out of heaven. Just one raindrop. Wouldn't it be nice if it just plunked right on top of your head? One little drop of rain, one little drop of oil is all you need. There's more wisdom in one drop from God than all the volumes of books that have been written by men. There's more power in one drop of the oil than all the powers and all the nuclear reactors put together. Man, come on. I saw there's a cheerleading going on. The angel said, yeah, I like that. See, the exciting discovery is this. When you abandon your self-will, your self-motivation, your self-determination, your self-elevation, and all the other self stuff, and you begin to surrender to that realm, you position yourself for transportation. Beam me up, Scotty. Get ready. For the Lord said, I'll create a new heaven and a new earth. And the former things shall never be remembered, nor shall they even come to your mind. I shall do a brand new thing upon the earth. And you are the earth he's talking about. You are the place he wants to visit. You're the place he wants to inhabit. You're the one he wants to anoint. You're the earth shaking, dirt moving people. Don't get too excited. Woo. Moses said, show me your glory. Just show me your glory. That's all I need. Wow. It's amazing how the glory of God changes things. I should probably quit now while I'm ahead. There's not a preacher I've never known that didn't go too long. Because we usually get enamored with what we're saying. Just because someone laughs or says amen, we think we're on track. Woo. The dependency that we come to know is that dependency upon the presence of the Lord. Total dependence. Well, Lord, I like my crutches. Have you ever seen a hypochondriac? I mean, don't turn around and look at the guy next to you. Hypochondriacs, they like crutches. I mean, it's not like going from glory into glory and from victory to victory. It's going from ailment to ailment and crutch to crutch. Now, if you got ailments and stuff, I'm not making fun of that. I'm saying there's some people, though, that carry it too far. But see, what happens when we say, Lord, I'm not going to let a crutch hold me up any longer. I'm going to lean on the arms of the Lord. See, it's easy to trust in the flesh, but it's difficult to trust in the Spirit. I mean, God ruined this place a long time ago. Ruined us. I feel sorry for visitors. Most visitors come in, they're expecting. You see, most of us have gotten a paradigm of what we think church ought to be like. Well, it'll be a few songs. Nothing too exciting or, you know, fairly excited, but not too excited. It ought to be some good announcements. Coffee shop. I know better than put a coffee shop out there. None of you would ever be in here. You'd be watching me on the monitors. Hello. You out there in the coffee shop, let the glory of God fall upon you right now. Woo! Let your glory come, Lord. Woo! Take away them crutches. I mean, how cruel is it to go up to someone on crutches and just kick the crutch away from them? Walk in the name of Jesus. How cruel is God? He just comes into a nice, friendly church and moves in it. And all of a sudden, people are falling out all over the place. They lost their crutches. You ruined us, Lord. What do you mean? They're drunk on the Holy Spirit. This being the third hour of the day. Reprobate people. Rolling around Jerusalem and the Holy Temple like a bunch of fools. Straighten it up, boy. We're going to kick you out. Lest the Lord builds a house, you labor in vain. Whose builder and maker is from above. It's a brand new Jerusalem. It's a new city. It's descending from heaven. It's coming right out of heaven. Oh, we pray, oh God, let heaven come to earth. Man, you're asking for something now. You really want that to happen? Do you really want heaven to come to your earth? To show up in your house? Show up in your car? Man. A little bit of heaven maybe, Lord. I had an album we bought in the Ozarks one time. It's called A Little Bit of Heaven. The problem is God wants to bring a whole lot of heaven. See, the victory we seek comes as the presence breaks forth upon the earth. I was going to get into deep teaching this morning, but not allowing me to. I want y'all to know, some of you have been coming here 30 years, you still don't know it. I am really a deep teacher. But you don't allow me to exercise my gifting properly. It's your fault. I should go somewhere where they appreciate the gift. Oh, here, Brenton, I forgot to give you my money. Everything that we've had happen up until now is for only one reason, so that it may pass away, it may die. Some of you this morning have an odor. You brought your baggie of leftover manna with you to church. When you go out to eat with God, don't ask for doggy bags. Oh, the glory came yesterday. I got a doggy bag and I took it home with me. No, because tomorrow that doggy bag stinketh. Today's a new day for you. Today God wants to pour out a fresh anointing upon you now. No doggy bags. Man, if I could live on past glories, I wouldn't have to go for future glories. I've had so much past glory that most people would die for that. But it doesn't mean anything unless I got his glory today. Well, I would tell you about the glory that came 30 years ago. Well, actually, in my case, 40-something years ago. Y'all like hearing those stories, don't you? I love telling them. But that's yesterday's glory. I'm saying there's got to be an angel with his head in the clouds this morning. Well, back in 1904, the Azusa Street Revival came. Did you hear about that? Yeah. That was great. Wasn't it great? Yeah, it was great. How about an Azusa Street today? Mm. Lord. Yeah, muy bien. The El Flaco El Waco never lies to you. He always tells you the truth. Woo! One thing we know, there's always more to come. For we're transformed from, it says in 2 Corinthians chapter, from glory to glory and from image to image. I think it says that. Yeah. By the same Spirit of the Lord. The thing, the great about this is that this morning you can have an encounter that'll just blow your mind. But it won't be something you'll be satisfied with. You'll want another one. You addicts, you're addicted. You would think one snort would be enough to last a lifetime. No, you want more. That separates you from the religious crowd. Religious people don't want more. They want less. They've already got too much. After all, they give an hour a week. They wouldn't want to be strained any more than that. Their wineskin won't handle it. They don't want to be bursteth all over the room. It's not good, pleasant thing when things bursteth on the room. God, give me less. I've had too much already. My parents will think I'm a radical. My coworkers will think I've gone crazy like the rest of those nuts that they saw come and go. But the Lord said, they'll come out of their big houses and big cars. Yeah. Not because they want less, but because they want more. See, in the last days, there's a famine in the land. A lot of people out there don't know it yet, but they're starving. They're hungry for something greater. And Jesus is the only answer. And every day you got to eat. Here, take and eat. This is my body. Drink. This is my blood. Thirst. And I'll give you living water. And every day we come and say, I need more of you, Lord. Give me more to eat, more to drink. I thirst, oh God. I'm going to guarantee you tomorrow when you get up, you're going to drink something. Right? You don't go long without drink. Some people are very easily impressed. I mean, if we had any sense, I'd call the stretcher in and carry this guy out so nobody would be offended. I don't know. There's something about when God shows up that's very offensive. He just offends our sensibilities, our intellect, our pride, our self-worth, our social status. I mean, you're looking at someone that was raised up in great social status. With a great pedigree. Great intellectualism. Don't mean to brag on myself, but coming from where I come from, it's almost like being royalty. Yes, God help us. But none of that makes a difference to me now. Because I was willing to give all that up for Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Some people out there listening, I just realized, may believe that. I mean, who knows? The Vatican may be tuned in this morning. My name is Bishop Hart. Yes. The glory of God comes in unexpected places. It won't come out of the places you're expecting it to come from. It'll come out of the caves like where David and his mighty men were hiding. It didn't come from the strong arm of Saul, but it came from the shepherd boy David. As they hid in the cave, that's where the glory was. See, the glory rests in hidden places. What's that song by Garth Brooks? Sing it, Darren. All the glory is in hidden places. In his song, all my friends are in low places. How does that go? All I got friends. Let's sing it. Low places. Oh, no, you said whiskey in church. Let's sing. One time Willie Nelson sang over at Riverbend. He sang Whiskey River Blow My Mind at Riverbend. Can you imagine? Liberal church. Okay. I got friends in high places. Okay. In hidden places. See, the glory is going to come in these last days through vessels we would have never chosen. Obscure places like Bethlehem. Who in the name of God would have chosen Bethlehem, a little manger, in Bethlehem to bring forth glory? They said, how could this man be who he says he is, because he's simply a carpenter out of Nazareth? Isn't this not Joseph's son? They were amazed at his teachings. Boy, y'all calmed down, didn't you? It must mean I went too long. See, when Jesus spoke, the words he spoke were spirit and life. It's amazing that if we just went back and went by the teachings of Christ in the simplicity of the gospel, that we'd probably put a lot of commentary and people out of business. We wouldn't have to write commentaries about what Jesus said. Why do we need a commentary? We need an impartation. And he said, the words I speak to you, they're spirit and they're life. Well, Lord, what are we going to do? We said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. But Lord, that's a hard saying. So they all left, except the original 12. He said, you guys are going to take off too? You can if you want to. You can go back fishing, tax collecting, persecuting. But they said, Lord, where else can we go? You have the words of eternal life. Where else could we be except in your presence? We don't understand what we're going through. I don't understand it when the Bible says, count it all joy when you fall in various trials. I hate trials. I despise trials and suffering. I don't want to suffer anything. Thank God he suffered for me. Amen. But when I go through stuff, what does it say to do? Rejoice. Because the suffering of the present time is not worthy to be compared to the glory. So no matter what you go through, the glory is greater than anything you encounter. Isn't that great? I love this stuff. Did you read the scripture yet? Verse 7 of chapter 4. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels. Oh. That the excellent of the power may be of God and not of us. See, we're hard pressed on every side. Yet not crushed, we're perplexed but not in despair, persecuted but not forsaken, struck down but not destroyed. You can beat me down, but you can't get me. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our body. There we go with that manifestation thing again. That's the deadly part, the manifestation part. God wants to manifest himself. You know, 1973, back 41 years ago, when the glory came in the church in Lubbock, most of you read about, there was a prophecy that came out of California the same week. It was the day of Pentecost, 1973. And the prophecy out of California was this, that out of Texas will come forth the Spirit of the Lion of Judah. And it will affect the whole world. This morning, Cindy handed me a present. Of the Lion of Judah. A picture of the Lion of Judah. And God's saying, I'm releasing the Lion of Judah. I'm releasing the nation of Israel. And all of the tribes upon the nations of the earth. That I'm taking them out of their hidden places, their obscurity, and I'm ready to reveal them to the earth. And your sons and daughters shall come from afar, and they shall assemble in the house of the Lord. The despised ones, the rejected ones, the wounded ones, the beaten down ones, the unloved ones, the sinners, the rejected, shall come from afar, and they shall be nursed by his presence. Some people say, oh, it's great to have a father in the house or fathers. I'm kind of a papa now, so I'm kind of the granddad. Because people can come and be nurtured by the fathers and taught and trained. Yes, they can. But the thing that they receive here is not the impartation of a man or a woman to father and mother them, to nurture and train them. But what they can receive here is his presence. Because I could speak to you for days and years and even generations of my knowledge and wisdom that I've experienced in God. And though it may profit you, it has very little value to your own personal encounter with him. Because it's when you find him that everything else comes together for you. And he gives you a wisdom and a revelation that's impossible for men to give you. It's not just the training that men give or women give to disciple the next generation, but it's in the presence of God that a whole generation is birthed in a day. Because we don't have time. We don't have the luxury of spending the next 20, 30, 50, 100 years hoping that we can disciple enough people to make an impact. There's got to be a supernatural impartation of the Lord where nations can be born in one day, that youth can spring up in a moment. And the greatness about that is that when the anointing comes upon you, you don't have to measure yourself to me or to any other minister and compare yourself, because what God gives you will be unique and will be special and will exceed those that have come before you. Because it's not right, it's not ordinate in the kingdom that if the next generation doesn't exceed the present generation, if there's not a glory unto glory, then we've missed something. Because the glory always brings an increase and an abundance. Amen. So Paul said, we're being transformed. And at verse 15, I love this in chapter 4, verse 15. For all things are for your sakes, that grace, everybody say grace. Everybody think about grace for a second. Let's hold grace out in front of us here. What does grace mean to you? How do you define it to your life? What does grace mean to you? Do you know what it means to me? It means that he loved me even when I wasn't lovely. He forgave me even when I didn't deserve it. He liberated me when I was bound. And it means, technically, the unmerited, undeserved, unearned favor of God. So when I have God's grace, I have the very fragrance of who he is ministering to me. Because, see, it's not some external thing that I look up to this God way up in heaven and say, oh, God, forgive my sins. Oh, God, help me. But it's that intimate thing that comes into my spirit, the grace of God that enables me to become like him, transforms me into his image. It's his grace. So Paul said his grace is sufficient for all of my needs. So it says here, that grace, having spread through the many. Did you know grace is a contagious disease? Did you know, in fact, this morning when you entered this sanctuary, we should have put a sign over the door instead of saying, what happens here changes the world, affects the world. We should put a warning. Where you're, what's that suit called that you have? Biohazard? Warning, put on your biohazard suit. This place may be dangerous to your religion. You could become infected with a deadly disease called grace. Grace is insidious. It's so insidious that men are doing all they can to stop it. They issue warning bulletins. Beware of grace. Someone that talks about grace is perverted. Grace teachers are perversion teachers. Warning, warning, warning. Stay away from them grace teachers. I'm serious. It's all over the place. Don't get around them grace teachers. They're not talking enough about sin lately. Talk about sin. Okay. Woo! Let's talk about sin. I texted Bill Vanderbush this morning. I said, give them hell. Down in Houston, I put, give them hell, then I put, are not, LOL. That'd be trying like a push a square peg through a round hole for Bill Vanderbush to be down there preaching that, wouldn't it? I joke around with him a little bit. But warning, wear your biohazard suit. You may be entering an infectious zone. It could forever alter your consciousness. You would no longer be saying line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. You'd be saying the grace of God has enabled me to become all that I am. Hallelujah. Woo! When you're in grace, you become infectious. Love abounds. Love magnifies. Love edifies. Love builds up. Love forgives. Does a lot of things. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, if you don't believe me, It's not puffed up. It's not self-seeking. It's not sin. When you really love, you look out for the interest of others. You become a blessing to the earth. You're not concerned so much about things that you used to be concerned about. You don't carry your little, what they call, examination kit around in your pocket. Let me pull out my examination kit and check you out. I want to find if there be any wicked way within you. Let me see if you're right with God. Oh, no, I think you need help. It's amazing how the human nature just loves that. We love to find faults. We love to find inadequacy. We love to find deficits. We love to find those that don't measure up to what we think they should be, so we can condemn them. And it makes us feel better about ourselves when we condemn others, because it builds us up, because we know they're not as righteous as we are. So we put them down. Warning, warning, when you enter this place, you will lose that attitude. You will be infected with a disease called grace. Pretty soon you'll begin to see through rose-colored glasses. Oh, you're looking good, uh-huh. Yeah. Oh, I see the Christ in you. Yes, you're wonderful. You're so beautiful. Uh-huh. Where I used to think you were so ugly, now you're so beautiful. Could I tell you that? You're good looking, uh-huh. Okay. Grace changes your eyesight. Ooh. Better out of one or two? One or two? Woo! I'm still on verse 15. You know, I can really preach expository preaching. Grace, having spread through the many. You mean all these people this morning, Lord, are infected? Woo! What are we going to do? Better lock the doors. Don't want to let you out on the world. You might go tell someone you love them. I mean, they thought you were a right-wing radical. Now they're going to call you a liberal lover. God forbid. I'm a very conservative person. I'm very conservative in my politics. Do you know that? But I don't want to realign myself with some of the conservative people that I know, because I want to be a conservative grace person. You know what I'm saying, Vern? Okay. Enough of that. Hey! Okay. Hey! Bodily exercise profiteth little. I'm a living testament to that. But godliness. But grace spreads to the many that causes thanksgiving to abound. I hate to imagine what that looked like on streaming. That causes thanksgiving to abound to the glory of God. Wow. You mean his presence will bring his glory? Will bring thanksgiving to him? Yes, it will. Lord, let this house, let this city be bathed in the presence of God so that grace may abound in the midst of us. Hallelujah. When he says, Lord, show me your glory, he said, Lord, show me your goodness. Show me your grace. Show me your mercy. Show me your heart. And that's what God reveals in you. When you walk in the presence, they'll see the heart of the Father through you. And they'll glorify Him. Praise God. Look what they carry. They carry something different than the world has seen before. The world is sick of religion. It's sick of passivity. It's sick of platitudes and self-help. And if you could be a better this and be a better that. Well, good. Be a better something. But most of all, be a better lover of Him. Wow. Love Him. Worship Him. Adore Him. Go madly insane for the presence of God. That'll change the world. Isaiah 60, Isaiah, the prophetic book of the kingdom. Arise and shine, as Charles said, the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Hallelujah! And all the nations shall see it, and they'll come streaming unto the house of God. Oh, let's just go out and win the lost. Let's go out and let's get someone saved. Yeah. Just go out and splash some love on them. Woo, just everywhere you go, just that drop that hit you on top of the head this morning, just splash some of that off. Let just go around just becoming an infectious disease. And Center for Disease Control, they'll say, we got to go find out where the source of that is. Where's all that stuff coming from? It's coming out of the house of the Lord. It's coming out of a cave. It's coming out of a place that's been hidden, a city on the hill. Now it's time to take off the lampshade. Let the glory shine.